everybody. Welcome back to the Goldbridge Saves Football Podcast. What a show we've got for you today. We're talking Premier League half-term report time. So we're basically going to be giving our top three teams that have done really well in the first 3 weeks of the season and also the teams that are in trouble. Also, the first time in years that Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi have not been in the top 30 Ballon d'Or contenders. Who are the top five players in the world at the moment and who's going to dominate the scene over the next 5 years? Let's get into it. It's the Goldbridge Saves Football Podcast. Let's go. Welcome to the show, Will.
Yes, thanks for having me, Mark. We've got a big announcement. Do you want me to announce it now at the top of the show or wait for them at the end of the show? Because it's big, it's large, and they can get involved.
I forgot. And contractually, it probably should be me that announces it, but you can do it.
Yes, we'd like to say a massive thank you to all of you for what will be coming up to 100 episodes. Who'd have thought it? Not me. The first one was awkward, but we've recovered from that. We've gone on a big smooth sail, and we're here for 100. So on the 23rd of September at Tocker Social in Birmingham, limited tickets available. We're doing a live show to celebrate 100 episodes. It's a party.
Are we actually live? Because mine's still saying this live event will start.
No, we're live.
Okay. It's not live on YouTube. Oh, it is live for me on YouTube. There we go. That's lovely. That's good. Confucius. Yes.
So that's live. We'll be live on the 23rd of September. £10 a ticket. It's a good venue, but we've kept it small, intimate. We'll be doing a live podcast, Q&A. You can meet this man here. He'll sign your book.
And my only live show of the year so far.
Yeah.
And it's in Birmingham. 2 weeks tonight. Tickets are going to go fast. We've only got about 200 and it's only a tenner. We're keeping the prices down for the fans. £10 ticket. It's a great social. It's a football social event. Get involved. Right. Let's get involved with the show. We can come back to that. Premier League half-term report time. We're going to start off talking about this. Obviously, last week we were talking about Ten Hag. We want to get your input on this. Who do you think the clubs are that are doing... we'll start off in trouble first because that always does well for views. Who are the clubs that are in trouble at the moment? Yes, we've only had three games, but for me, I've got three contenders, and I don't actually think it's Ipswich, Southampton, or the other team that got promoted, which is Leicester, because I expected them to do badly. But I think Manchester United, yes, Everton, yes, and actually, I nearly went Spurs or Chelsea, but when I look at Spurs' next four fixtures, Arsenal at home, Brentford at home, Man United away, Brighton away. If they get 6 points from their next four, they'll have done well. But that isn't good enough for Ange, who's only just took 4 from 9. So I think Spurs, weirdly, started well, but I think they're in trouble. Man United, we know about pressure. And obviously Everton, horrific start to the season. Is there anyone else you think in that before we delve into it?
I mean, you did mention Chelsea there. I think Chelsea's been the good, the bad, the ugly, hasn't it? I think we all, like, the Man City performance was bad, but there was positives. The Wolves game was great, and then some of the other things have just been downright ugly, and then everything coming out with the board there, I think, going forward for Todd.
What's all that about?
He's got a power struggle. It's literally like sort of Vince McMahon versus Shane McMahon 2001, who's I now own WCW, and he's like, what are you doing there, having a power struggle on the board? So if there was discontent down at the bottom, there's discontent at the top. It's everywhere.
It's like we've always said, Chelsea need a front man, not just up on the pitch, off the pitch. They need a leader. Yeah. They need a goal scorer. There's too many cooks spoiling the broth.
It's 12 o'clock on an international break. That's the last thing we want to be doing.
Yeah, it is very interesting in that sense. But Ange is not in trouble, says Big Ads. I'd love Ange at United, said Manchester United. What are United going to do without McTominay's goals? Shut it, the Bladenator. Look, let's delve straight into this. I think when we're talking about Manchester United and we're talking about Spurs, I really do think that Ange is a good place to start. It's our half-term report. So we'll try and go through as many teams as we can because I know a lot of people say you're always focusing on the top six. Well, Manchester United, Spurs, and
it's
Everton.
A bottom half show.
Yes, a bottom half show. But no, look, let's talk about Spurs. Obviously, on Friday, we'll be live again previewing a massive weekend return, North London Derby. I think Spurs, just quickly, you've always been a massive fan of Ange, and I actually like Ange. And I've said before, I think that Man City result really didn't do them any favours back at the end of last season. And I think Ange lost a bit of his mojo there. But start to the season, they've played really well, but they've only took 4 points from 9 from games that Leicester, Everton, Newcastle. 4 points from 9 isn't good enough. And they've now got 4 difficult games where I'd expect them to beat Brentford, but Man United away, Brighton away, and Arsenal at home. They're not, none of them are necessarily wins. I just think by the time the next international break comes round, Spurs could be marooned in mid-table. And therefore, they are a team to watch over the next few weeks that could be in trouble, despite playing what I think is good football in the two games I've watched.
Well, and that Newcastle performance is probably the epitome of it all, isn't it? Like, I think I've just got it up here. They had 20 shots, two massive chances. If you watch the game or even watch the highlights, it was like the Battle of the Alamo, wasn't it, for ages? They were absolutely relentless against Newcastle and then got hit with a sucker punch. And ultimately, that is down to Big Ange's philosophy. So there just seems to be this growing discourse within Spurs fans that is permeating out that is Big Ange the right man for Spurs? Because if you take in the end of last season with the form and you take in what we've started with this year, it's a bit like, is there a plan B? Is there a plan C? Is he just a bit too rigid with this absolute philosophy? Which, when it's working, it's absolutely delightful to see, isn't it? That's how we want to see football played. But I just worry about him. You know, will I have a car to wash in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, look, we're going through a Premier League report. We're not going to spend 20 minutes talking about Spurs, but I think Solanke back scoring goals, they are creating chances. They can turn it around very, very quickly. But just keep an eye on Spurs, because it's not as simple as Spurs are going to win the next four games. Brentford have done very well. Brentford probably deserve a shout out. You know,
they've taken six
from nine, and they played well at Anfield.
But then that's what I think is so important about this. We've had three games. Like a lot of people, you know, you probably, some people will have Ipswich down there. Well, then you look at the fixtures and it's like Man City and Liverpool in the first three.
But you know what, Will? I always say, a scratch on your arm is just a scratch until you don't look after it. You let the dirt in, it gets infected, you lose your whole arm.
Well, so they're going to lose arms and limbs at Ipswich going forward?
What I'm saying is that this half-term report may well be an early look at the winners and losers, but this is the time to wake up. Yeah. By the time the next international break comes, that scratch has become infected.
Good.
And then by the third international break, you've got gangrene, you're fucked.
What's the one that smelt really nice as a child? Gangrene. Not the alcohol rub. It was very nice.
TCP.
Yeah, but that'd be like, that's what they need, don't they? A bit of TCP, because that's like...
Yeah, they need to wake up.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit of pain in the short term.
Down a pint of TCP.
But by the next international break, they could be healed. I think that's the thing with Spurs. Let's go to my club, Manchester United.
United,
we spoke about them last week. Nothing's much changed in a week. He's still in a job. I think we predicted that. Southampton at the weekend, followed by Palace away, Spurs at home and Villa away. It's a tougher four games than Spurs because there's three away games in there. And I think, they've got to beat Southampton at the weekend. There has been a few prats, Cundy from TalkSport, saying that if he loses or draws at the weekend, he'll get the sack. I genuinely don't think that...
You're giving Cundy what he wants there.
I know, but you could have said it.
He's a prat.
You could have said it. What? You say it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say
if
that.
If he loses to Southampton or draws, he gets the sack.
I wouldn't say that.
I think he'd be under huge pressure. I don't think he'd get the sack. But Spurs have been playing good football, and there's a sense of trouble if they don't do well over the next four. Man United... There's not a lot of love in the bank in the media. There's a lot of pressure in year three. It's year two for Ange. And also Spurs have played good football, whereas United haven't. Massive set of games. And it's hard. It's hard to predict what's going to happen with United. I remain Ten Hag in, and there's people like Ugarte and other players. We've had a good international break. Most of our players have played and played well.
Monday, touch that wood. So
far. But yeah, what are your thoughts on United over the next four games? I was on the United stand last night, if anyone didn't watch it. Why? But I said, from those four games, 12 points, he's got to take seven to be okay.
Yeah.
If he's six, that's two losses. He won't be okay.
And also, it's just like, I feel like he's weathered the storm of this week, like through international break, and he can come back on a bit more of a positive footing. Being the 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, not only are you Manchester United, but you're a deer in the headlights there, aren't you? You are on the prime stage. You're the first game back. So if you do get that wrong, the pressure just ultimately goes back on you. The one thing, I don't want to go over old ground, so I'll put down here, I think he just needs to have his best 11 by the end of that four as well. Because... you know what we said about the start of the season with De Ligt not coming in, Xerxes scoring but then not coming in, Garnacho being on and off the bench. I get injuries, but like, there needs to be a full 11 in his head that's going forward, especially because Europa League, I think you can rotate in that one. Like, just have a very strong Premier League campaign, because it feels third and fourth is up for grabs.
Peter Nielsen's just made a good point. Mark, 6 points isn't necessarily two losses. It could be three draws and a win. Which is still 6 points, Peter. If anyone's got any other combinations, by the way, I think Peter's nailed it. But you'd be right. Three draws and a win would be less pressure than two losses. and two wins.
But what about if they draw against Southampton, draw against Palace?
Drawing against
then
Southampton.
Then you probably beat Spurs.
That's like failing to score. No. It's 12 o'clock. I keep forgetting. I had a few drinks last night, so I'm in a naughty mood. Naughty mood.
Don't say naughty. That's a bit creepy.
Mate. It's not if you've got, like, kids. Yeah, okay. If Seb does something wrong, I don't go, I go, that was naughty. If you don't have kids. If you go home to your missus and you go, oh, that was naughty, it is definitely
that's what
creepy.
I say to
but
Niall.
For anyone who's actually got children that are theirs, naughty is a word that's in your vocabulary. And it well, you've been really naughty there, Seb. Why have you? What are you watching YouTube for again?
Yeah,
he's addicted to it.
That's what I say to Niall, though. If he's
better to be addicted. Anyway, we'll move on again.
Yeah.
Let's. I just thought of a great question for you to ask me.
Go on.
You can get involved in the chat with this. Will, you're going to ask this question. Who's going to finish higher, Man United or Spurs?
Mark, quick one for you. Who's going to finish higher this season, Manchester United or Spurs?
Well, it's a good question.
Thank you.
And I would go Manchester United.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go Manchester United because I just thought of that answer and that's why I've said it. I think at the moment I'd be in the minority. I think a lot of people would say Spurs, but I just think Manchester United, like the great song by Doreen, things can only get better. Spurs have started off well, but already shown their vulnerabilities when playing well. We haven't seen Man United play well yet, and there's only a point between them. So I'm going to stick with United.
Do you know what I think? I think the answer to that question is both of them won't have the managers that they've got now. And I think I worry for who Spurs would appoint next.
You think both will be gone by the end of the season?
I just feel there's something. I feel like the growing...
He's actually said something edgy.
There's growing noise within Spurs camp. That just with last season, start of this season, if like we said, the next run of games, if they get that wrong, and I do think Ruud van Nistelrooy will be the Manchester United manager by the end of the season. So I think he'll have that super duper bounce effect that we maybe saw with Ollie. He's got a bit more pedigree. So yeah. I might have to agree with you, but for different reasons.
I feel that in a way, is there not a statement that if Ange wants to maintain his reputation, he'd be better off getting out of Spurs before it goes wrong?
Well, it felt like that. You know, you kept bringing it up with the obviously the end of last season when they needed to
beat City
and then all the and he came out and that felt like you're either going one way or the other here, and it's not really galvanised the fan base and it's not really. I mean, there are. I really like Big Ange and I hope he gets it right, but I just football is so fickle and the way it's going and also it exposes himself a little bit just because the way he plays. So yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's like being in a safari park and someone's let the lions out and there's a car and you're in the driving seat and you've only got four spots and there's eight good managers.
Yeah.
Four of them are getting eaten.
Yeah. Four of them better run fast.
Five of them are getting eaten. Yeah. I'm not going over the four car limit. You can get another one in. No.
Is it the space in the boot?
No. I will not.
Space in the boot.
I will not get a ticket for breaking the law. I think that's my only concern with Ange. Good coach, good manager, but Emery, Brighton manager, Arteta, Slot, Ten Hag, Maresca. You know, there's so many. How can you? You know, Dyche. You can't. Dyche. Let's talk about Dyche.
Yeah.
Tell me Everton's next few fixtures.
That's a great question and one I could bring up straight away.
Terrific start to the season for Everton. I saw a stat the other day that the goalkeeper in the Premier League who has faced the most shots is Flecken of Brentford. He's had 21 shots. Must be hammered. And he's made 81% saves from those shots. Uh-huh. Pickford's save rate is 47%.
Blimey.
So it just shows you it's not about how many shots you take. It's about how many you save.
Exactly.
So Pickford's had a bad start. I think Onana's down at 50% and Saar of Wolves. Even I put Pickford in my FPL and, you know, that means he's normally quite good. Their big players are performing badly. It's just not got right going for Everton. Tell us their next four games.
We've got Aston Villa away.
Ooh, loss.
Then we travel to Leicester City away.
Ooh.
Then we've got Palace at home.
Ooh.
Then Newcastle at home.
Ooh.
And then we go into that horrible international break where they come back and face Ipswich Town in what could be not just a six-pointer, a nine-pointer.
And is that, you know what? People say you focus on the top a lot. That's view specific. You know, let's be clear here. But we will bring them in after 10 minutes, the lesser interesting topics. And Everton are a club in turmoil, not just because Sean Dyche is there, but also because their ownership is a mess. I saw pictures of their new stadium the other day. Felt very...
See someone put that Tesco Superstore logo on the top of it and it did look...
It just feels, I love Goodison Park. So when you see a stadium like that, it may as well.
It had the potential. It felt like when you saw the images at the start, it felt like, oh, this is going to be a real, and then it just looks
it
like a generic bowl.
Bundesliga.
Yeah, yeah. But like even the ones in Bundesliga have got like good
Brighton.
Bit of character. Have you seen it at the top as well? It's so steep.
Huddersfield Town. Remember when they built theirs?
That's nice, that.
They've got the arch, haven't they?
And a lovely backdrop.
We're losing viewers talking about Huddersfield. Right, let's go. So back to Everton. You know what about Everton's fixtures is? This is perfect for the half-time report. They are scary times. They are in trouble because looking at those fixtures that you've just said, Villa would have to go out on the piss to lose that game at Villa Park. What else they got? They got Palace at home.
Yeah, Palace at home.
They've got to get something out of that, but Palace are no mugs. They've got Leicester away, which you've got to get something out, but away from home.
Newcastle again.
I don't know where Everton's... If they get 3 points from the next 12, it's still a crap, isn't it? They've got to find... They're a bit like United and Spurs. They've got to get at least a couple of wins.
Yeah,
probably
also,
7 points.
Yeah, and also it's not just like three defeats, is it? It's like three defeats where they have conceded so many goals and like... One thing you'd say about Sean Dyche, defensive stability, they've got it, and he hasn't. So you'd be looking for a Dyche-esque appointment in, wouldn't you, to sign steady up the shores at the back. And, like, I mean, starting with Ashley Young, like, so much faith in that guy. And I think Seamus Coleman came off, didn't he, in the England game. So God knows where they're going to turn to next.
Manchester United will finish between 6th and 10th, as Scott. And Manchester United win on Saturday, Mark. Josh says, the guy who loves Goodison Park says... The man who sits in his basement. Mate, I know I'm wealthy, but I haven't got a basement.
You're talking about me because I live in London with a one-bed flat.
Have you got a basement? The flat's in the basement.
I'd love a basement.
Yeah, I haven't got a basement. And I've never done a stream from a bedroom. Breaking news.
Really?
I've never done a stream from a bedroom.
Oh, nice.
I don't need to.
Not even in lockdown?
No. I've always had a room to do it.
You've got 8 bedrooms, so it's always good.
8 my arse.
That'd be in the Daily
Take
Mail.
Away two.
Steady.
Take away 2.
Mark Goldbridge's 8-bedroom flat in... That'll be the next
I need
report.
To do. I think that video would bang. And I put a new carpet in my room now. So I'm actually getting prouder of actually showing behind the scenes.
Lovely.
Anyway, back to Everton. I think Dyche gets sacked first.
Really?
Yeah.
I just, with all the turmoil up above, like, I don't know what the contract is on as well. So it feels like they'd have to pay him out for that. Then it's like, honestly, who do you get in? Like, because we say at the top of the league, oh, there's not a plethora of managers to come in. If you're looking at that Everton job, Who actually
I'd
wants
do
it?
It'd be a good career mode. Can we stream it?
You can't get in the stadium.
Yeah, even better. Yeah. I'd have to do it from home. I'd do it from a basement. Sub him. I'll do the Dyche voice. Hey, get Steve Stone, you can stay assistant coach. Get Calvert-Lewin off and get on. Who've you got on the bench? I'm looking at... I like the look of him and I like the name.
Duncan
get him
Ferguson.
On. He's just scored that trick. But yeah. Yabba-dabba-doo.
That's what does Frank Lampard deserve more credit for what he achieved at Everton? Says that's our job.
I don't know. The pub looks fantastic, says Stanley. The thing just on Everton before we move on is that Dyche should get the sack because the start's terrible and I can't see where they're going to get results in the next 4. So if they've lost 6 of their first 7 games, then you've got to get the sack. But he will still keep them up because the newly promoted teams will struggle. But as an Everton fan, you can't live like that. You can't live like, oh, let's keep him because he'll keep us up in May. You know, there are standards here and I would say he's in trouble. But let's move on to more positive signs. Don't forget, we've got a very, very interesting area of the show to come. Get thinking about this because we need to go interactive. Top 5 players in the world over the next 5 years. It's the first year that Ronaldo and Messi have not been in the top 30 Ballon d'Or recommended players. For about 92 years, apparently. Yeah. It's 92 years since Ronaldo and Messi were not in the top 30 candidates. It's not 92, but you know what I mean. Who's going to dominate the Ballon d'Or over the next few years? Mbappe's 25, Haaland's 24, Vinicius Junior's 24, Pedri's 21, Yamal's 17. There's a lot. Will Brazier's 36.
Jude Bellingham's
20. You know, who's going to... Do you think it's going to be varied? Do you think we're going to see a dominance? If there's one thing about FIFA, they love to have... domination. They love a domination, don't they? So we'll be talking about that in a bit. But look, let's talk about half-term report. We've given our top three clubs that we think are in trouble at the moment. It might change for the next international break, but we're going Man United 1, we're going Everton 2 and Spurs 3. Get your comments in if you would disagree. Top three clubs at the moment, let's ignore Man City.
Yeah.
Because
relentless,
they're not
boring.
Even picking Rodri, yeah. Are they?
Haaland, new contract.
Did a video on that.
Lovely stuff. Great watch. Think? Yeah, one of the best I've seen.
What do you think about Haaland getting a new deal?
One of the best deals I've ever seen. No, I worry, and linked with the reports that Musiala might be going next season, that like Pep's going to sign another 10-year contract, and we'll be still trying to say football in 2038, in Pep's 48th season, Haaland's still playing at 39 and just about to score his 8,000th goal.
It's horrible, isn't it? Marcus Stevenson, I agree with you. Garnacho's going to win the Ballon d'Or for the next 5 years and dominate world football.
Yep. You said you only had two beers last night, is that correct?
But okay. He's talking sense. No, I don't know how many he's had. He's sober, Marcus Stevenson. Legend, and he's a member. But anyway, what I was going to say is that with regards to Man City, it's true, isn't it? It's such a sad situation that... And we're only doing it for the love of football. I feel a bit guilty about this. Might not be the only one who's guilty, but I feel a bit guilty about this because we basically want Man City to get found guilty just to save football.
I feel like you'll be doing a watch along of the court case.
No,
it's coming up to the trial now.
I've got to say, you know, I think for the last few years with the 115, there's always been that it winds Man City fans up, so let's talk about it. But the closer it actually gets to Judgment Day, I think, what a film, by the way, but the closer it gets to Judgment Day, I think, really... My only motivator in Man City getting found guilty is to save the Premier League.
Yeah.
And that's really wrong fundamentally. It's hilarious, but it's wrong fundamentally that the only way to save the Premier League is for a club to get found guilty of cheating. That there should be an option too. And I'd like Man City fans to get involved in this as well. Let's pretend you don't get found guilty. And how do we save football? Because if you don't get found guilty, then... The Premier League is finished.
Yeah.
You will dump. You've got the best manager, Haaland staying, you'll bring Musiala in, you make the most money, you've got the least debt, you've got the best facilities, you've got the best youth setup. That club is set to dominate for the next 5 to 10 years if it doesn't get found guilty. So I think they might not get found guilty. And if they don't get found guilty, there needs to be an alternative to how we change it, because they will dominate.
Yeah, but that's the problem, isn't it? Like, you've met people, moaners, you go, wow, this is all right. And then you go, well, what's your solution? And that's the positive outlook. And normally, I think we'd both be in that camp. But with Manchester City, for all the reasons that you've just mentioned, I genuinely don't see how it stops. It's like, we've just got to look at ways that, like, oh, hopefully Pep leaves, or hopefully they get all this. It's like, what can we do to affect that if you're a Liverpool or a Man United or an Arsenal? And like, you've seen the lengths Liverpool had to go to. You've seen the lengths Arsenal have to go to. It's nigh on impossible.
Yeah. Dugout Channel says, hello, Mark and Will. What do you make of the Chelsea ownership civil war? We have just spoken about it. They need a front man on the pitch and off the pitch. They just seem to be a bit fragmented. So we're leaving Man City out of our top three clubs from the first section of the Premier League half-term report. And Arsenal not there for me either. Not, again, back with front men. Didn't get that front man. And, you know, they've dropped points already.
Yeah. Do you want me to go for my three and then you can see if you disagree? Yep. I've got Liverpool, yep. Brighton, Newcastle.
Good. I've gone different on that.
Okay, what have you gone for?
I agree. I think Liverpool, we spoke about last week, so we don't need to go too massively in on them.
Schlod.
Yeah, I mean, three wins from three. They've got Forest at the weekend. That'll be four. I think the next game after that is winnable, so it could be five. He could be taking on Solskjaer's best ever Premier League streak for a new manager. I think Pep won his first five as well. So
was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in that category?
Well, to be fair, he should have an asterisk next to it.
Is he manager now, isn't he? Is he back in Turkey, or did he not do that?
No, he can't get a job.
Yeah.
No one will give him a job. But he's got the record. But then he also started... like in December.
Yeah.
I think when you start at the start of the season, there's more credibility to it.
I just think that...
Some would say, no, it's harder.
I think we spoke about the tactical approach, but like Arne Slot, is just... I think he's just been a very shrewd operator. Yeah. It's interesting with the squad balance we keep speaking about, but I was speaking to Niall earlier, like Nunes, just like that's going to be one that sort of might rear its ugly head of like, How do you get those in?
But I love Jota.
I love Jota. Jota should be starting, but like there's a few players that maybe might start to be. And the way he deals with Salah going forward as well, I think that's going to be interesting. It's been a smooth start.
Well, we're going to talk about Salah in a bit because we're going to talk about who the best player in the world is. Nathan C says, Mark, I bought your book, Shamoni. Nathan, brilliant. Just to let everybody know, we've announced today it's the first live show of 2024. We're in Birmingham 2 weeks tonight for our 100th podcast show. It's a small, intimate event, but at a very good social football Birmingham. Loads of football stuff you can do there. We've got our own room there. Only £10 a ticket for a fantastic night. We've kept it cheap as chips, and it's only about 200 people there. It's going to be a live show. Get your tickets. They'll go really quick. But if you want to bring your books or buy a book, I will be there signing books before with a gold pen. That's right, a gold pen to get yourself your tickets. But no, I think going back to, I would agree, Liverpool. We've both gone Liverpool.
Yep.
They would be in our top three for the moment on best teams of the season so far. Who did you go with?
I went for Brighton.
Brighton, yeah.
And also that's because...
7 points from nine, yeah. And they've played Man United and
destroyed
Arsenal.
Yeah, destroyed...
Everton.
Destroyed Everton as well. And for me, I don't know, very naive, I was like, it's going to stop working. They can't keep identifying the right manager, the right player, and getting that right. Well, ye of little faith, I've been egg on face. And I think the way that they've, you know, and even the way they like utilised Danny Welbeck, who's probably like...
And Milner
and all those sort of players.
I reckon I could get a job in that team and they'd still be top of the league.
It's just the way they... Yeah, it's just so shrewd, so great, and like so much good positivity around it. I think hopefully that continues. And the way De Zerbi ended, it just felt that was a bit of a cloud over Brighton, didn't it? But
yeah.
The sun is shining on the south coast. Is it the south coast?
They bought a lot of players in the summer as well.
They spent a lot of money. I think they spent net. I was reading this morning. I think net spend they were spent the most in terms of not getting the money back on that as well, which feels unlike them. But when you go through a Brighton 11 who they've sold in the last 5 years.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
I think against United, it could have gone either way, and obviously the red card against Arsenal helped them out a lot. But look, sometimes that, you know, you look at Spurs, probably played better football than Brighton, but don't have the points. And sometimes, you know, you've mentioned Newcastle as your third pick. It's not mine. You've put Newcastle in there. Just by the way, 5,000 watching on YouTube. Smash a like. Absolute legends. Remember, we're live every Monday at 12 o'clock in the Goldbridge Arms, talking about the weekend. But yes, you've got... Yeah, I haven't gone with Newcastle as my third, but I did go with them as my dark horse for the season. Yeah. So I'm justified anyway.
Yeah, no, I went with Newcastle again. It was sort of, I was worried about Eddie Howe. I think going into the season, we were all linking him maybe with the England job, Amanda Staveley leaving. Then that performance against Southampton, which you look at Newcastle 1, Southampton 0, you go, Will, what are you talking about? Red card after 5 minutes, navigated that storm, did really well, and then beating Spurs the other week, which again was a similar-esque performance. And I just think, we've said it so many times, and I've said it, and I'm stupid. We write off Eddie Howe and he keeps going, look at me now.
Well, I was in the pub last night and this Geordie person was saying something to me about Newcastle. He said it three times. It just was a noise. And then I was like, I don't know what he's saying. And somebody who understood him said, he's saying, we haven't even played that well, Mark. We've played pretty badly and we've got 6 points. What do you think about that? United are shit. And I went... walked away.
Yeah.
I said, tell him he's ruined it with the United bit at the end. But
diffuse that situation.
They are right. They are right, those Newcastle fans. That both home games, Southampton had more possession. They still won Newcastle. And Spurs were better than Newcastle, but they did a job on them. And away from home against Bournemouth. I mean, look, what I'm saying is about Newcastle, they could have lost all three games.
Yeah.
Bournemouth away as well. And instead, they've got 7 points. Things can only get better for Newcastle. But I would go with Aston Villa for me. But you're never going to go with Villa because you're bloody blue nose.
Are we going into a Morgan Rodgers two-minute
thing? No, I wasn't going to mention.
I'll pour myself a pint.
No, I wasn't going to mention Morgan
Good
Rodgers.
Good lad.
Aston Villa for me are my third team. I think there are other candidates there. I just
Who's your second?
No, I went with Liverpool.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant supporting.
Liverpool, Brighton and Villa are my three.
Top of the
class for the first 3 weeks of the season. And the reason I would go with Villa is I thought they were fantastic. I think they were the team of the week in the first week against West Ham. Second week against Arsenal, I think they showed us how you can play really well and get beat.
Yeah.
And then week three, they went to Leicester, which having lost to Arsenal, they could have been a bit down in the dumps. Leicester, newly promoted, it's a bit of a local rivalry and they got the job done there. So 6 from 9. and they could have had more. And I think that...
And the way they navigated the window as well, didn't they? Because that was like, we've gone into the PSR stuff and the way having to sell Douglas Luiz is a joke. I will admit that. Interesting though, it's been Duran rather than Ollie Watkins that's been firing. He looks absolutely prolific when he's been coming on.
Well, what's the story with Watkins, Villa fans? Because wasn't there for England. I think he might have picked up a bit of an injury. He doesn't look completely sharp, does he?
Probably just need... But then he wasn't like playing loads of minutes in the summer, was he? I don't know. I've always said Ollie Watkins is a streaky player. Like, he was very... it was a very hot streak for the whole of last season. And I think I even said in the preview episode, going into this, he needs to replicate what he did last season. With three games in, of course he can do that. But when you've got the added pressure of your replacement coming on and scoring winners... That's, you know, that puts the pressure on even more. So I'm going to be interested to see what happens.
George Kyle says, are United in the worst three in the class? Yes, we've already done that, George. We've got Man United, Everton and Spurs as the three worst in the class so far. If you disagree, get in the comments. Yeah, I think Villa... what are Villa's next four games, actually?
Well, they've...
they've got... I forget who they've got at the weekend. I know you. They've got...
I got you. They've got Everton at home. Then they start their Champions League campaign. Then
Young
they've got
Boys.
Young Boys. Then they've got Wolves at home in a Midlands derby. Then they've got Ipswich Town away. Then they've got Bayern Munich at home. And then they've got Manchester. You play them after Bayern Munich. Interesting.
So I could see Villa getting 9 points and then getting beat by United.
After a Bayern Munich
game. I'll have
game.
Some of that. It's a deal, Villa fans.
Didn't
beat everybody before us, then get tied after Bayern Munich and get beat by us.
It feels like Aston Villa Bayern Munich could be a bit like Newcastle PSG last year. And I think Newcastle dropped points after that game. I might be wrong.
I can actually see Villa beating Everton and the other lot and United and taking 12 from 12.
Really? Starting off with the Young Boys one's different, but then the Bayern Munich one. Villa Park. Have you seen the prices at Villa Park? I know you did a video on it. Wow.
Yeah, it's sort of blown over a bit now.
No, I'll keep bringing it
you
up.
You have a moan about it then?
No, it's a disgrace.
Will's moan?
No, it's a disgrace.
Moan about it then?
No,
go on. You're scared of Villa fans, aren't you?
I'm scared.
Oh, I can't wait till Monday. I'm going to go mad about them tickets. I've already done a video on it, so I've said my piece. Come on, Will. The floor is yours. Have a go at Villa.
I want my mates who are Villa fans to be able to go to games.
And the fact it's getting emotional.
The fact that some of them can't is an absolute disgrace.
I think it's disgusting, but I think the reason behind it, unfortunately, is why we've had a crap transfer window. I think Aston Villa and Newcastle have got the money, but they can't spend it. So they've got to get the revenue up. Yeah. So you doubled. The fans pay for it, it's wrong.
Yeah, but like even so, it's maybe a bad example, but at Blues, they're doing it by doing it on the hospitality section.
So you're paying 20 quid for a burger?
No, in terms of if you're going hospitality, you're paying more for that. Like, don't make it up on the match going fans that have been there through thick and thin.
That reminds me, actually, I was laughing. You know Adrian Durham?
Yeah.
He was going absolutely mad on Twitter because of price of water.
Really?
He was at the airport and he was going, they've got you by the balls. You can't take your water through security.
Yeah.
You get thirsty before you get on the plane. All you can do is drink it out of the tap, which you'd never do, or buy a bottle, £4.40. And then he's got the picture. He's right, £4.40 for a bottle of water. They don't pay well at TalkSport, so that's like £8.
Oh, Adrian Durham. I was thinking of bloody Adrian Charles.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Yeah.
I love those sections. Who's fell off? And you never... Whatever happened to him?
Yeah.
On the show today, we've got...
Adrian Charles could be local, actually.
Carl Jenkinson.
Blues legend.
He played for Arsenal.
Dislocated his shoulder. Never saw him.
Get in the chat with players. Whatever happened to him?
Another feature.
Another one. Robbie Brady playing for Ireland at the weekend.
He's at Burnley, isn't he?
No, but I thought he was about 90.
New feature as well. Who's your favourite Adrian? Get those in the chat. Not a name that you hear of anymore.
From Rocky. Yeah, I love her.
Not watch Rocky.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
She's dead.
Not
in real life. Oh. Although her career is dead.
Yeah, get that one on the list.
Adrian
Better
from Rocky.
Tron?
No, my favourite Adrian is Adrian Mole.
No, I would go Adrian. When he was Pete Wancho, Adrian Charles.
He did
that good drinking documentary as well, actually.
Adrian Charles is exactly the sort of role model I would expect you to have.
Like, role model?
Like Liam Gallagher, me.
Oh, gangster.
Adrian Giles, you.
Oasis, you're like, if you've not listened to any of the songs in the last... If you can't name the first four songs off the seventh album, you don't deserve a ticket. Absolute horseshit.
Hindu Times, listen to that. What a tune.
Adrian Charles is coming on the podcast next week. Where were we? Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors.
We are now moving into a new segue, which I've been really excited about in the show.
Who's your favourite Gary?
No, we didn't speak about Arsenal. Who's your favourite Gary?
Arsenal. Yeah, lovely stuff. But one thing overriding for me, Mar, just to get us back on topic, Arsenal. Still, there's something I can't put my finger on. Still need a bit of bite, but one thing we can put our finger on, they need a striker.
They do need a striker, and we were talking about this, and this is probably going to be a little bit controversial.
No.
But
don't say so.
Look, the Haaland wouldn't start for Liverpool thing, really, some people just don't get it. We're talking tactics. Maybe Slot would do it, but I don't think he would. But put this in your pipe and smoke it. If I had the choice between Erling Haaland and Alexander Isak, and I was Arsenal manager, he's putting his hood up, I would go Isak. And I really would.
Oh, God.
No, I would, because Isak gives me more in the link-up, in the individuality, and he gives me goals. I don't think Arsenal need the best striker in the world, which is Erling Haaland. I think Arsenal need a striker who will score you 20 Premier League goals, which Isak will, but will also give you everything else that Arteta wants, you know, that individuality to take people on, the link-up play. I would go Isak over Haaland. I'd love to know what Arsenal fans think. In fact, let's not be diverse. Let's be diverse. What do you think about that in general? You all watch football. If you were Arsenal, do you think Erling Haaland solves the problem, or would you want Isak who'll give you goals and creativity? Because there is no doubt that Erling Haaland is the best striker in the world. But again, it doesn't always come... I just think people are very simplistic in their football. Like, it's too simplistic to go, let's get the best striker in the world. Another example would be, you know, do Manchester United need Virgil van Dijk? No. They don't.
Man United don't need Virgil van Dijk.
No.
Man United need third for Virgil van Dijk.
No.
Gift wrapped and say thank you very much.
This is why I like having you on the podcast, because you speak for the unwashed.
What? Yeah, I've not had a wash. Yeah, I do stink.
No, but what I'm saying is Man United don't need Virgil van Dijk. We've got Martinez, Van De Ligt, Maguire and Yoro. What we need is another bloody midfielder.
You need Van Dijk, though. If Van Dijk's up on the market,
if Van Dijk says, hello, Mark, I want to come and join Man United for free, I'd say, come on, join in the train. Be nice to him. Be nice to him. But what I'm saying is, how much would it cost for me to get Van Dijk? 50 million?
Yeah.
I'll spend that 50 million on something else. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, God, no. And that's Man United's problem over the last couple of years.
They've been spending...
Mason Mount was 50 million. Would you rather have Mason Mount or Virgil van Dijk?
You're not listening.
I am listening.
This is the whole point. You're not listening. I'm not saying that Virgil van Dijk is the best centre-back in the Premier League, because for me, he is. Him and Saliba. But if you said to me, do you want Virgil van Dijk? No, that money can be spent better elsewhere. Thanks, Virgil. You are the best centre-back in the Premier League, but I need to spend that money elsewhere.
He's of a
quality. And that's what I'm saying. Erling Haaland is the best striker in the world, but if I had a choice between Haaland and Isak in the system that Arsenal play, I would go with Isak because he offers me something that Haaland doesn't.
No, no.
It's not a bad take. It's an opinion.
It's an awful take, because you keep putting Erling Haaland in this one box that he can only do one role, where he's proven...
He was absolutely shit for Norway at the weekend.
Yeah.
Absolutely shit. Read the Norwegian press. I do. On a daily basis, I read the Norwegian press. They're normally a very forgiving nation. They were going bloody mad. They said Odegaard wasn't great, but at least he was doing something. Haaland, who does he think he is?
Well, there's no way I'm reading that, Mark, anyway. But Erling Haaland can play multiple different roles.
No, he can't.
Yes, he can. No. And he proved that at Dortmund. And he can do that. He is an elite striker, not just because he scores the goals. You only have to look at the way he rounded...
I don't think people listen.
I am listening. And
the chat.
You can't put Isak over Haaland. Like...
No, I'm not saying that.
For that specific example, you can't say that either. Erling Haaland, like, I don't know what he's put, a dick in a Yorkshire pudding or something. Like, he is absolutely unbelievable. Like, he is a world-class elite striker.
I wouldn't take Erling
Could
Haaland.
Win a Ballon d'Or, should have won a Ballon d'Or.
He's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
As a striker.
Yeah. Well, and how is Isak?
That doesn't mean he starts for every team.
You're overthinking.
Doesn't mean he suits every team.
I think you're overthinking it.
I don't. I think he's a dying breed.
Yeah, but he can
that
do
mean, that doesn't mean he's got anything. What I mean is, like, he is completely unique in the sense that there aren't many like him anymore. Benzema. But Benzema offered more in the build-up. Lewandowski getting old. There's not many out-and-out strikers like Erling Haaland anymore. You've got to give more. And I think Isak gives you more. I think Jota gives you more. They're different types of strikers. Why haven't Arsenal got one then? Because, why haven't Man United got one? Why haven't there's not many teams with out and out strikers now.
No, but Erling Haaland is made to play a specific role. Pep's system is the most specific system in the Premier League, right? So he has got, we've seen it with Jack Grealish, we've seen it with other players. Why can't they get the shackles off them? Because Pep has made them play in this way. So we're judging Erling Haaland off that.
He's not a creative.
Oh.
He's not a creative.
I can't.
He's not a creative. That's why you can shut him down.
But if he was in an Arsenal system and he was told to play a different way, he's shown with Pep's way he can do that way, so he could do an Arsenal way. He's like a piece of clay. He's malleable.
I think what we've got here is intelligence and IQ. And some people cannot understand when I say I would go with Isaac over Haaland at Arsenal because I've watched Arsenal and I think he would fit the system better. Why do you think Arteta hasn't bought Ivan Toney in or an out-and-out goal scorer? Because he plays Havertz. He doesn't want the out-and-out striker. He wants somebody who's part of the build-up as well.
Right, well, we're going to agree to disagree there. We could be talking till the cows come home.
I'm just telling you what I would do.
I think Arteta, we should move on.
Arteta might walk in here and go, I'm with Will.
I
love Pep. I like to copy everything Pep does.
I say gracias, mon ami.
Right, let's talk about the best player in the world because actually this list comes in from nine. Get ready for this. Do you agree with this? So we're basically going to talk about the best players in the world and who's going to be the best player in the world over the next 5 years, because we've had a domination over the last decade of Ronaldo and Messi, rightly or wrongly. I think there were one or two Ballon d'Ors that were handed out on reputation. Certainly Messi's last time, Haaland should have won that. I think there was one with Ronaldo where somebody else should have won it. I forget who it was, actually. Ribery definitely should have won one. But They're not even in the top 30 anymore. So we've got a new Ballon d'Or up for grabs and pretty much for the rest of your life. So who are going to be the players that dominate the Ballon d'Or over the next few years? There's plenty of candidates we're going to talk about. But this was 90minutes.com did the 10 best players in the world at the moment. And I wanted to know let's do their top five, who they had as their top five players in the world. Jude Bellingham is number five.
Number five?
Yep. Kylian Mbappe was number four. Oh. Rodri was number three. Vinicius Jr. was number two, and Erling Haaland was number one.
Wow, and he wouldn't play for Arsenal. Very interesting.
That's not what I'm saying. Yeah, but I don't agree that he's the best player in the world.
No, Jude Bellingham for me.
Easily.
For me, Jude Bellingham going forward has got the not just for now, then, and forever. Like, he is absolutely... And the way football's going as well, like, rightly or wrongly, it is into that athletic mould, but he's got the touch, the style, the poise. He's got everything that you need. He's a future leader, he's a future captain, could be a politician.
You'd have Jude Bellingham as the best player in the world at the moment?
Probably, yeah.
That is Player FC. Clip it.
I think he should win the Ballon d'Or this year for certain.
No, I don't mind that, but I don't think he's the best player in the world. So who would you have as your top three players in the world? Bellingham 1.
Bellingham 1, Vinicius Jr. 2, and Mbappe 3.
Interesting. I actually still think Mbappe is the best player in the world. Yeah. So I'd go 1 with him. I'd go Vinicius Jr. 2, and I probably would put Erling Haaland 3. Isak close for.
Yeah.
But look, so their top five was Haaland 1, number 2 was Vinicius Jr., number 3 was Rodri. Rodri's a good shout. Mbappe 4, Bellingham 5, De Bruyne 6, Harry Kane 7, Mo Salah 8, Foden 9, Rudiger 10.
Well, there was a large exhale from
Harry Kane ahead of Mo Salah.
I mean, he had a really good season last year. He just got sort of shrouded in not winning the trophies.
He's not been Mo Salah when he's got the shits. I'm sorry, Harry Kane is a world-class striker, but he ain't never been Mo Salah.
No, I do think Harry Kane will have to retire for English people to understand how good he is, and like finishing unbelievable. But Mo Salah, again...
He shits at the weekend again.
Oh.
Kane.
I thought you were Mo Salah then. I didn't know you were watching the Egypt games.
So. Well, I do try.
Mo Salah, yeah, we spoke about it last week as well. Just, we don't know what we've got till it's gone with him. And like that, Liverpool could... go and win another European trophy this season. They could win the Premier League, but it just feels there's something against him. I don't know what sort of bias there is.
I'd put him in the top five in the world.
Yeah.
I'd kick out... So what did I go? I went Mbappe, Vinicius Jr.
Haaland.
Yeah, Salah 4. and then let it fight it out between Rodri and Bellingham for me.
Who would be your top three? Get your top threes in the chat now. We'll read the best ones out. But for me, Bellingham, like I said a couple of years ago in a video that I've taken off my channel because it was absolutely cringe that Jude Bellingham would win the Ballon d'Or this year. And I think
who's the favourite to win it? VJ?
Yeah, Vinicius Junior.
Yeah, I think he's not a bad. I think whoever wins it this year, I mean, not that I have any complaints anyway, but
I wonder if this year sets a precedent going forward, though. Like, if it is a Jude Bellingham, it is an Mbappe, if it's just going to be between. And also, the scary thing is, three of the players that we speak about, Real Madrid, like, that Champions League could be sewn up for the next 10 years, let alone the Ballon d'Or.
Well, that's the positive of City, isn't it? They might be dominating the Premier League.
There's an antidote to them in Europe.
They might be able to take. They're probably the only team that can take on Real Madrid in relation to that. I'd still probably rather Real Madrid win it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, especially with, like, well, I'm a bit of a... I don't know if you know, Mark, but I really like Jude Bellingham. But,
you have mentioned
and
it.
And also with Carlo Ancelotti, it just feels like he also is the perfect antidote for, like, we saw that perfect performance at the Etihad, didn't we? Like, he just was like, this is how City play. I'm going to play against them and try and stop them. And it worked and they got through.
So... we've had this Ronaldo and Messi domination over the last 10 years. Do we think that, and get involved in the comments, of course, do we think that over the next 5 years, we will see Vinicius Jr. winning three of them, or Haaland winning three of them, or Bellingham winning four of them? Or do you think it's going to be more varied now? Because I was looking at this, and just while you're thinking through that, Will, they ain't going anywhere, this lot. Haaland's 24, Vinicius Jr.'s 24, Mbappe's 25, Jude Bellingham's 20. I mean, De Bruyne, Salah, Kane, they're all getting on a bit. Foden, 24, he's an outlier. Then you've got the next batch. You've got Pedri, 21, Endrick, 18, Zaire-Emery, 18. You've got Galère, you've got Yamal. Even that player that Man City have brought, some people rate him quite highly, that Savio or Savinho. Yeah, I think he's only 20.
I'd like it not to be like the Premier League and it be a sort of 10-horse race going into each year, because also that would be sort of a real celebration of football then, wouldn't it? Like, I think we speak about the disappointment of the way football's going and the way it's sort of tiki-taka pass move, but probably, ironically, it helps out in the Ballon d'Or, because when it was so individualistic, Ronaldo and Messi, they were quite clearly the best players, so there was no doubt. So, but now, with the system that everyone has to play in, it probably does create more competition for this one.
I fear, like Moz just said in the chat, I fear that actually we could still see a domination of the Ballon d'Or over the next 5 years. And I think the two candidates are going to be Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe. Mm. Because if you think about Bellingham or Vinicius Jr. or Pedri or Yamal, where they play on the pitch, they're not necessarily going to score 30, 40 goals. Whereas Mbappe at Real Madrid and Haaland at Man City, they're pretty much guaranteed 30 to 40 goals a season. And in that debate of who's better, they can always go, hey, look at how many goals I've scored. Yeah. And so I think we could move into a new era of Haaland and Mbappe dominating the Ballon d'Or over the next 5 years. I hope not, because I think it's more interesting when you have a varied conversation in any walk of life. But I think that the fact that they're goal scorers in teams where it's impossible not to score a load of goals, I can see it being the Mbappe and Haaland show. And I actually think society's quite lazy. You know, we see it all the time, don't we? Oh, Oasis are back. Or, oh, Disney have got the Star Wars franchise. People love repackaging stuff. And I think, oh, Mbappe and Haaland are the new Messi and Ronaldo. I mean, anyone with a brain knows they're not. But FIFA might be like, yeah, they are. Remember how popular that was for a decade?
Yeah.
And they've just turned into Deitch.
Well, and that's why, like, having Rodri, like, we know he's a quality player, but just because of the way it works, like, it's like when Cannavaro won it, that was like a rare light in that situation, wasn't it? You're not going to be a centre-back, a CDM, and win it. And same probably with De Bruyne. Like, Bellingham helped himself with the start he had in La Liga, didn't he? He was scoring like 10 goals in 10 games, getting all those assists. So it's interesting to see if he plays further forward in this system. But
I'll tell you where I'd like to see Erling Haaland. I'll tell you where he would start.
Where?
Colchester.
Would he start? Would Erling Haaland start at Manchester United?
Yeah.
Good.
He would say, no, look, notice I've never said Man United, because in relation to our strikers, we haven't got a Jota that suits the situation, and we haven't got a Havertz. The striker situation at
Man United is
up for grabs. So you're not going to say the world's best striker. No, we're going to try out Xerxes and Haaland. You know, it would have to be Haaland. But I tell you where I would like to see Haaland. Barcelona.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the resurgence of Barcelona. They're a traditionalist club. It would make La Liga better. And Mbappe at Real Madrid. It's a real shame that Barcelona didn't get Nico Williams, because I think Nico Williams, Dani Olmo and Yamal behind someone like Haaland. Although I'm hearing good things about this Roque. You know, when we talk about the next generation of, like, there's a few players between like 17 and 20.
They're called ballers, I believe, Mark. And you have to go, ballers, these future ballers.
Ballers. Well, I'm hearing good things about this Roque. Nice. I don't know what good things, but also let's give a shout out to an English talent in Dortmund, Gittens.
Yeah, yeah.
2 goals off the bench last week.
And there's a lot of them, and I think it's like an indie band, like when they release one good single and you're like, these are going to be the next Oasis. When people are at that level, you've got to be, oh, he's had 2 good games there, but let's see what he can do over a season. So let's nurture the talent. And that's why I think, you know, all the hype around Bellingham, but how many wonder kids have we seen that have not made the grade at the highest level? Shall I read some of the super chats, because they are piling in quickly?
Oh, yeah, good, love this stuff.
Mikael says, Carvajal is so slept on, goals and assists at both Euros and the Champions League. Premium says, will fit system, better to remain second, third. Don't know what that means.
That Roque's gone on loan to Betis for 2 years, so I've jinxed him instantly.
Yeah, also, Barcelona for me, I'll come on to that.
They've got Lewandowski, haven't they?
Well, no, but also, see what I did there? It's an absolute sham. Robert McCormack. Teams would play to Haaland's strengths if he had him. Always love Robert McCormack. Blackhawk says, wish Gary Shaw a speedy recovery up the Villa. Matthew Sandbrook says, I'm reserving judgment on the United this season. Ten hour first season, lost 2 first games, then won away at Southampton and pushed on. Prem is harder now, so top four is a very good season, in my opinion. Andrew's in right for Spurs, says Nico. And I think that was us up to date.
Toby says, does Mark even know Florian Wirtz? Course I bloody do. He's, you know, we're very good mates. But no, I mean, look, there are an amazing amount of players that by the 2026 World Cup, and maybe that's a future show, you know, who are going to be the top 10 players in the world for that major World Cup. And I wanted to talk about this World Cup in the simple sense that it has been an international break. Thank us later, and certainly smash a like on the video that we didn't do an international break show. But Ronaldo, I want to start with Cristiano Ronaldo. 2 goals in 2 games for Portugal, yeah. 900 career goals. He wants 1,000.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to be playing in that World Cup for Portugal. I was trying to figure out, he's got to play the season after the World Cup as well. He's not going to get 50 goals for the next 2 seasons. So he will be going to the World Cup. He will still be playing for another 2 or 3 years because he's definitely going to get 1,000 goals. I love Ronaldo, so we've got to be very careful here, Will. Does it get to a point where this is the Ronaldo show and it's damaging to Portugal?
Mm.
I actually think Harry Kane is damaging to Manchester United. He's only 32.
Harry Kane's damaging to Manchester
United? To England.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that you get the best. I saw it again with Ireland. I know there was no other option because Watkins wasn't fit, and maybe Lee Carsley's brave enough to do it. He made some brave decisions, which I quite liked at the weekend. But I feel that Harry Kane is too slow for the way that England are going to play. You need someone who's going to play on the last man. Watkins, even Tony or Solanke. And I think England will be better off without Kane in the World Cup, because you need that when you've got the likes of Foden and Bellingham and Saka and Gordon. But from a Portuguese point of view, I, as a Ronaldo fan, was like, I think you'd be better with Jota. See you later.
Yeah.
I think they'd be a better team. But then he is the world's greatest player, arguably. He's certainly Portugal's greatest ever player. Yeah. You're not going to not pick him when he's available. It's football at its best. It's romance. It's fantasy, isn't it?
Well, he knows the power he holds with that Portugal national team. So it's only going to come from him, isn't it? Like, he's got to accept a role in his head that, like, I am not at the level I was. You could win a World Cup with Portugal without him starting. And he could, like, imagine him coming off the bench as an impact sub.
Do you think Akunda says, look, if we're being completely harsh, Ronaldo makes Portugal worse. I could never say those words, even though I did in the summer. I just love Ronaldo too much. But actually, if we're talking football, I think they'd be a better team if they played Jota in the false nine. But Ronaldo's bigger than Portugal. That's the bottom line.
But also, yeah, and I agree with that as well. But like, yeah, he needs to accept that. And this is the time now, isn't it? You've got 2 years until the next major trophy. This is the time to build your 11. Like, we only have to look at the Euros. Spain was a complete team, wasn't it? It wasn't a team of individuals. It was a complete unit from top to bottom. And that's what everyone needs to be. That's the blueprint going forward. And yeah, maybe England's the same with Kane. Portugal's definitely the same with Ronaldo's definitely the same with Portugal. So a team, there's no iron team, Mark.
But I tell you what, I hope Messi's going to do it with Argentina and Ronaldo's going to do it with Portugal, because if those two are going to the World Cup...
Does it not just become a bit like when you go and see Backstreet Boys and there's only like two members of them? It's like, right...
Well, that's the danger, isn't it?
Full ticket,
how good are they going to be in 2 years' time?
It's like, oh, great to see them, but like, you know, it's like watching an old wrestler down and, you know, might be... Oh, Mankind 60, he can't walk, but he's down at the Islington Leisure Centre. It's like, oh, I will watch it, but it's a bit... Oh,
but it's interesting because I think in 2 years' time, obviously you're still going to have Vinicius Jr., Kylian Mbappe, Erling Haaland, Jude Bellingham, Rodri will still be playing. But there is a new batch that in two years is a long time in football. I mean, it is a long time for Messi and Ronaldo to even maintain their level now. I mean, they're nowhere near what they were 5 years ago. So in 2 years' time, it's a long, long time. And there's probably players I don't know the names of in South America who are 17, 18, who people who watch that football know, oh, they're going to be brilliant in 2 years' time. Yeah. Yamal in 2 years' time is going to be even better. I still think there are players at other clubs in the Premier League that, you know, Wharton at Crystal Palace in 2 years' time could be way better than he is now. Garnacho at Man United.
But that's what I mean, the hype around it. Like, we have to be so careful, don't we? Like, the potential is unlimited, but then there also was a limit to that as well, isn't there, of like where these people can get to, because there's only a limited amount of spots at the top of the game.
Joshua Middleton, very generous super chat. Thank you very much for that. Messi will not play in the next World Cup. He'll probably retire after Finalissima. And I actually think Messi's probably somebody that might not go to the World Cup.
Yeah, I think
he's a different mentality. Ronaldo
is selfish.
You get in on him for that.
What?
Yeah, but some people will agree with you, but yeah, I'm a Ronaldo fan.
Ronaldo, the most selfish
Ronaldo
footballer of all time.
Has a YouTube channel. Ronaldo is PR brand. Yeah, Ronaldo is one of the greatest players ever played the game. What I was about to say is Ronaldo is in tune with his brand and his reputation.
I don't know if he is.
No, he is.
Probably, in some regards, he's
too in tune with it. And what I mean with Ronaldo is he will be criticised in some parties, probably you, because he's very brand orientated, but he's also very football orientated. Like, there was a picture of him the other day with his top off again, and it was like, what do you need to do to have a body like this at 40? And I nearly replied and said, don't eat junk food and drink beer with your mates, because his body is a temple. You can't not respect this guy. But the whole focus of Ronaldo now is not about the team he plays for in Saudi Arabia. It is about Portugal to a certain extent. This is about 1,000 goals. He's openly
That's
admitted it.
Me,
he's openly got to hit 1,000 goals. He's already done the clip, hasn't he? My 1,000 goals will be recorded.
Yeah.
He's not going to... Even if he ends up playing for Forest Green Rovers in League 3 at 49, he'll still do it.
Yeah,
he's going to score 1,000 goals. And he's going to try and score them at the highest level he can. But even if he has to do it for Seattle Sounders, he is going to score 1,000 professional goals. And he's going to try and do it. His dream will be 1,000th goal for Portugal in some sort of competitive game.
I think it's just very sad. It's like, you know, when Pelé was like, I'll score this amount of goals. And they go, well, let's dig a little bit deeper, Pelé, and where you actually scored them.
No one's ever going to break this record.
No, but I just think it's like, right, we know you are the... Like,
Haaland, good.
You don't need to score. What's 1,000? It's just, there's a class of people that enough is never enough. Like, it'll get to 1,000 and be like... Well, we all knew what you had done. And right, you scored a few more goals in the Saudi Pro League. Fantastic.
But Ronaldo is arrogant.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I'm saying it in a good way.
Yeah,
His legacy. He's all, even as a young kid at United, any United fan will tell you, he was arrogant.
I think
at 17, 18, 19, he was arrogant.
That's why I've always preferred Messi, ability-wise. Oh. And of course, like, when you compare the two, he will, you know, say enough's enough and not play anymore.
But I like Ronaldo.
I know you like Ronaldo.
And
do you think you're happier than Ronaldo?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say why I think I'm happier than Ronaldo.
I think Ronaldo is just one of them people, enough will never be like, it would get to 1,000, it'd be like, it'd be good if I could have had 1,050.
Yeah, but you know what? It's that legacy. Ronaldo's legacy beyond retirement and death will be 1,000 goals.
But his legacy secured, like, no one's going to go. When you speak about Ronaldo, the first five things you won't speak about is 1,000 goals. It'd be the Champions League wins. It'd be the league title wins. It'd be beating Messi there.
How many times do people talk about Pelé's 1,000 goals? Quite regularly. They do. They do, because everyone takes the piss that he used to score about 100
years back. Well, yeah, it's because they're taking the piss. And then this will be like, well,
I bet I've got more living room football goals than Ronaldo.
No.
I bet I have.
That's so for putting up a good defence.
I bet he's never played living room football. But no, 1,000 goals is his legacy. And I think sometimes in football and in football coverage, we're very bad at just stating the obvious. And Ronaldo's whole... If Ronaldo was nowhere near 1,000 goals, would he still be playing? Yes. But... would he go till 42, 43? Maybe not. But if it takes him 43, 44 to score 1,000 goals, he's going to do it. You can be critical of it, but that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, fine, but pointless. Just retire, enjoy your family. Like, there's so much more to life than trying to score an arbitrary amount of goals in an arbitrary league that doesn't matter going forward.
It makes you quite selfish.
Yeah, definitely.
100%
agree. You know
what I find funny about Ronaldo? It makes me laugh. He's become more selfish the older he gets. Yeah, like at United, he'd score great goals, but he was a winger, so he'd create. Nowadays, you see him for Portugal, they're 4-0 up, and someone doesn't square it to him for the tap-in, and he won't celebrate. He's like,
That's what I mean. He's just there for one reason.
No, he wants
more
to
power
win.
To him.
Of course, he wants to bloody win.
I hope he's happy.
But he wants 1,000 goals.
Should we speak about the EFL where there is 1,000 goals?
EFL was this weekend.
Yeah.
Charlton drew.
Yeah. You're still going to stick with them going forward?
Well, I am, but I've got to give a shout out to hashtag. Will's gutted by this. Spencer, hashtag, sent me that. I would have put it on, but it's a bit chilly today, so I will be wearing it. I don't like tops over jumpers. I have done it in the past.
It's not a good look,
especially with a hoodie. But I'll try. If it warms up, it's going to warm up. We're going to have a warmer September, I think. So I will wear it, but it's nice. Nice kit by the old hashtag. Thank you very much, Spencer. You actually spent a week with him, didn't send you one.
No. Yeah, worked with him as well.
That's respect.
Didn't get one, but you have got more followers than me. So maybe...
Goats appreciate goats.
Exactly, yeah. Okay.
You're just a humble sheep.
I'm goat shit.
There we go.
EFL, Charlton drew 1-1. But the big one, we are going to St Andrews next Monday. Yeah. Birmingham versus Wrexham. We're out in the wild for what is Monday Night Football, which some are saying will be the biggest game of the season. Brady versus McIlhenny and Ryan Reynolds.
Wrexham against Birmingham.
In what will be an absolute barnstormer. League 2.
Notts County 1.
Notts County 1, 2-0. Cheltenham 1. We're on the way up, Mark.
What's the league looking like in League Two?
It's looking very juicy
at the
moment.
Remember, we picked teams at the start of the season. There was no championship action. Charlton, my team, drew.
Well, we didn't play as well.
Birmingham didn't play. In League Two, Notts County are my pick this year. And
they're second in the league. Cheltenham are now into the dizzy heights of 15th. So we're on your tail.
Notts County could be getting promoted. And unfortunately, we are at Solihull Moors. That's not the unfortunate thing. They lost 1-0 at home to Forest Green. That's that team that, you know, regurgitate their own shit and put it in a sandwich. No, they're eco-friendly, which is positive how do you regurgitate your own shit? I tell you what, I was telling Seb this story the other day. I did a challenge video with Ben Foster and Angry Ginge, and at the end of it, we had to bend over and take the
cannon up the arse.
Do you know the shot?
Yeah,
the ball.
The shot cannon.
Shot cannon. I was telling Seb. Seb was asking me, funnily enough, yesterday what it was like, and I said it was like I wanted to have a poo out of my mouth.
Oh, really? What, forced it up?
It just was.
Did it get you on the cheek or on the anus?
Sort of dead centre.
Oh
yeah, but a good video that. Need to do some more football challenges. But there was something else I was going to say. Oh, have you seen how many tickets we've sold?
No.
Is that a good idea or not?
I don't know.
We've sold.
No,
we've sold two. Get your tickets. They will go fast. Trust me when I mention.
Oh yeah, we've sold a few.
Yeah, they will go fast because it's only 200.
Oh, and people are buying two. Oh yeah,
and it's only £10 a ticket. 2 weeks tonight. Podcast.
It's at Tocker Social. So if you go to Birmingham New Street train station, it's 30 seconds out the front door, opposite where the four blokes in jeans had a picture. It's there, you can't miss it. 6:30 start. And yeah,
they've got loads of football games you can play after and before. If you want to bring your books, I'm going to set myself up with my gold pen. So order the book, Goldbridge Football According to Goldbridge. We'll do that.
We will be selling them there as well.
We will be selling them there. And also, it's only a tenner. It's dirt cheap and it's a great location. And it's only 200 for our 100. We'll do more of these, but we're only mentioning it on this show and on the audio podcast so that the actual podcast listeners can get first dibs on it. Because as soon as I mention it on the United Stand at 8 o'clock tonight, be gone.
Yeah. But no,
that's not arrogant, it's just true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it'd be good. And
they'd watch me in the bath. They've already said it.
Yeah. 200, that'd be good. 200 people in your bathroom just watching you do a live podcast with a little bit of bubble stuff over your member.
Yeah. Niall's going off camera. So getting excited.
No, we're selling tickets thick and fast. They might already be gone. So the link is in the top line of the description. £10, Birmingham, 23rd.
He's counting the emails. There's actually a place you can go to and it will tell you. I've had a few emails.
Trying to get on it now.
Okay, we'll leave that there. Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Really enjoyed that for an international break one. We've made some good content and that's what it's all about. We can't do it without you. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Get your tickets. And we're back on Friday with a Premier League preview at midday. And obviously next Monday will be Premier League review. Lots to get involved in. And... yeah, thanks, Will.
No, thank you for having me, Mark. Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Never a chore.